Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2034 with a release date of Friday, October 21st, 2016, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Colorado wildfires keep hams vigilant. Three deaths shake the global radio community, and school kids enjoy a radio roundup. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report 2034 comes your way now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first and only independent, on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, here is Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
We begin this week's report with more Colorado wildfires. Amateur Radio Newsline's Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, has the latest.
In what is becoming an all-too-common headline this year, amateur radio has stepped in to assist communications in another wildfire. This time, it's the Junkins Fire in southern Colorado.
The fire is in mostly rural country. We've got some vacation homes. There are some homes. I think there's about 200 places evacuated. The amateur radio role right now is being in standby in case it were to blow up.
That's Area Section Emergency Coordinator Robert Wareham, N0ESQ, who is currently supporting the Junkins Fire at the Colorado State EOC.
We had an interesting request from the Fremont County Sheriff because it's hunting season, and they actually asked us to put out evacuation bulletins so that hunters with amateur radio in the backcountry would be aware that there was a fire danger.
Wareham explains how they assist at the state EOC.
They activate Colorado Aries, and then our personnel come into the state EOC, and we become their communications function here. So in addition to monitoring amateur radio, we also monitor the state 800 megahertz trunk network, all of the mutual aid channels, everything like that. So it's a sort of a broader role than traditional amateur radio. Because it's a largely rural wildfire at this point, there just isn't enough demand for us to bring up a full-time amateur radio net right now.
And he points out they have access to a statewide interconnected ham repeater network as well as a new DMR network.
The Rocky Mountain Ham Radio Club has, over the last 5 years or so, developed a very robust DMR digital radio network. So right here from the state EOC, I can communicate directly into the southern part of the state over the digital network. It's a dramatic improvement over what we had, say, 10 years ago.
Disasters are becoming nearly commonplace for these Colorado hams.
We've had so many disasters in Colorado over the last 5 or 6 years that we learn from each one of them, and believe it or not, they kind of become routine after a while. We know what we need to do. We go in as staff. We work with the folks at the EOC here, and we just sort of take it in stride.
Hams standing by to lend assistance where needed in the latest Colorado wildfire. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Meanwhile, three deaths have touched the radio world. Here's Newsline's Paul Brown, WD9GCO, with our first report.
On Thursday, October 13th, Thailand lost not only their king, but also their most prominent amateur radio operator. King Pumipol Adulyadej was also known amongst hams as HS1A. Acceptance of amateur radio in Thailand took a lot of work by a very dedicated group of hams, both native and resident alien. The movement took on a new meaning starting in 1963 with the founding of the Radio Amateur Society of Thailand, or RAST. I spoke with Robert Leo, W7LR, who was actually working in Thailand in 1963 and was one of the founders of RAST.
I was teaching up here at Montana, at Montana State University. I did that for 20 years. Early in that venture in 1963, I was selected to go to Thailand. And so I did that for Stanford Research, and I was the research director in Thailand. We had seven agencies to work with, but we got research done in spite of all that. Along the way, I got to know all the hams, not all, but a bunch of hams over there. And some were in military, some were in businesses, and we decided to form RAS. And I was one of the founders. At that time, that's when they didn't have regular call signs. So I wondered, well, how can I operate? So I went to the Thai military, and I said, well, what do I do? Can I operate? And I said, yeah, just pick out a call sign. So I picked out HS1L, The L was for Leo.
It's important to note that until RAST was formed, the Thai hams that were in existence were not allowed to make QSOs with any DX stations. RAST joined the IARU in 1969, which helped open Thailand's hams up to the world. RAST officers and members worked hard for the next 23 years to gain acceptance of ham radio by the government and the communication agency, and in 1988, the official Thai amateur radio rules and regulations were adopted into law. King Adulyadej was presented with his license and call sign, HS1A, in 1989, and officially put RAST under his patronage in 1994. King Adulyadej was 88 years old and had been the king since 1946. At the time of his death, he had been the world's longest reigning monarch. If you'd like to read more about RAST, please visit the official website at www.qsl.net/RAST. We here at Amateur Radio Newsline extend our condolences and sympathies to not only the hams, but to the entire Thai people during this time of national mourning. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
In South Carolina, a pioneer in repeater systems has died. Here's Newsline's Jim Dameron, N8TMW.
Amateurs in South Carolina are mourning John Crockett, W3KH, who became a silent key on October 12th. Following a long bout with cancer. An electrical engineer, he is credited for his work as project manager of the South Carolina Healthcare Emergency Amateur Radio Team Systems Linked Repeaters, as well as the Digital Mobile Radio Linked Repeater System. He was also the developer of and project manager for the Southeastern Repeater Association Universal Coordination System. John got his amateur license in 1963 and was a life member of the ARRL. An Air Force veteran who served in the Vietnam War, he became an advocate for effective emergency communications and served as net manager for the South Carolina statewide Aries VHF-UHF net, which met on the SC HART linked repeaters. The SC HART website posted this message following John's death, quote, "Amateur radio and emergency communications had no greater advocate in South Carolina than John Crockett. His tireless devotion to service led to the establishment of the SC HART network, the SC DMR network, and countless other innovations of immeasurable service to the people of South Carolina." End quote. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Dameron, N8TMW.
Finally, our nation joins the Navajo Nation in mourning a hero of World War II. Newsline's Mike Askins, KE5CXP, has the details.
Sergeant Major Dan Ackey, Sr., one of the last of the Navajo code talkers of World War II, has died. Considered a hero by his tribe, the 96-year-old veteran died on Friday, October 14, in Tuba City, Arizona. The sergeant major had served in the 4th Marine Division of the 25th Regiment in the Pacific and was one of several hundred code talkers whose use of the Navajo language kept the Japanese from decoding messages sent by the Allied forces. According to his son, Dan Ackey Jr., he was at the Battle of Iwo Jima and was present when the American flag was raised on Mount Suribachi by 6 Marines, including Ira Hayes, a member of the Gila River Indian community. The Navajo Nation's president, Russell Begay, said in a press release, quote, "Dan Ackey was not just a Navajo Nation treasure. He was an international treasure and icon whose service will stand as a testament to the freedom of all Americans." End quote. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5CXP in Shawnee, Oklahoma.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the Silver Creek Amateur Radio Association's 2-meter repeater, W8WKY, Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. local time in Doylestown, Ohio. Now here's one after-school activity that doesn't involve homework. This sounds more like ham work, as we hear from Newsline's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
November 6, Hotel Charlie Station. You're coming as a 5 and 9 from Bloomington, Indiana, with the Bloomington High School South Club. My name is Maria.
Okay, very good, Maria. My name is Arnie, America Radio November Italy Echo, Arnie, and I'm in Orange County, Southern California, near Disneyland. Back to you.
This is just one of many contacts that were made during School Club Roundup. As this broadcast goes to air, School Club Roundup is in its final hours. Schools across the globe have been making contacts with other schools, clubs, and just whoever they find on the air. From elementary schools to big-name universities, schools are taking to the airwaves to learn more about ham radio. Some are very competitive and treat the roundup as a contest atmosphere. Others enjoy a string of students in a casual QSO with someone who just stops by on the frequency. My high school students at Bloomington High School South in Bloomington, Indiana, mostly lean toward the contest side of the roundup, but enjoy both. Club President Maria Lisandru, KD9BUS, tells Amateur Radio Newsline what she especially likes about School Club Roundup.
I love being able to talk to people all around the world and meeting people, and I love being able to just have a bunch of pile-ups, especially because I'm a girl. I get a lot of people trying to talk to me. QRZ?
Kilo 3, Mike.
But it's nice to get a lot of points for our club, and it's nice to talk to people all around the world just sitting in one place.
Club co-vice president Ryan Butler, who is still operating as a third party, has become an expert at logging and enjoys getting on the mic too. Repairs to our primary antenna, tower, and rotor that couldn't be completed in time for the fall roundup, despite valiant attempts, have impacted our team's performance, but Ryan remains optimistic.
I think that we are going to get less points than normal, but since we did a bunch of tuning to the radio, we're able to get out much clearer signals to across America, and I think we'll be able to rack up a lot of points still, even though we are hindered by the bad radio antenna.
So as we finish School Club Roundup, we hope you were all able to take some time to talk to some schools on the air and create these opportunities for students to experience ham radio. And with any luck, our station repairs will be complete in a few weeks, and we will do even better in the February Roundup, which takes place February 13th through 17th. For more information about School Club Roundup, check out the ARRL.org website and search for School Club Roundup, and look for an article in an upcoming edition of QST Magazine. For Amateur Radio Newsline, this is club sponsor Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, reporting from the K9SOU Shack in Bloomington, Indiana.
Teaching kids about science, technology, engineering, and math takes lots of planning, and the Wireless Institute of Australia is looking for some help in doing just that. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's John Williams, VK4JJW.
Australian amateur radio operators are being asked to participate in an event that doesn't involve being on the air, but will hopefully result in meaningful contact anyway. The Wireless Institute of Australia needs amateurs willing to share their technical knowledge as it applies to STEM education programs for young Australians. Hams are being asked to submit expressions of interest in participating in the Institute's STEM Symposium on November 19 at the Canberra Amateur Radio Club Rooms. The WIA would like to see amateurs share not just their knowledge, but ways to integrate it into STEM programs. Those ideas will be discussed during the one-day gathering, with an eye toward writing up briefs that can be submitted to government agencies involved in STEM. Amateurs already involved in STEM activities are especially welcome. For more info, send an email to bruce@wia.org.au. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
Also in Australia, there's some new web SDR activity online. Want to listen in on what's happening on the bands around Sydney? Amateur Radio Newsline's Richard Murnane, VK2SKY, has those details.
In VK2, the Manly Warringah Radio Society in Sydney, Australia, is pleased to announce that its new web SDR is now online. This web-accessible software-defined radio receiver covers five amateur bands, 160, 80, 40, 20, and 15 meters, so you can easily check from anywhere in the world if your HF signal is reaching VK2. It's also handy if you're away from the shack and just want to do some shortwave listening through your mobile phone or other portable device. You could even listen in through your computer at work. Just don't annoy the boss. This project has been supported by a generous development grant from Amateur Radio New South Wales, for which the club would like to express its heartfelt thanks. The receiver may be used by anyone, whether a licensed amateur or not. Simply go to the Manly Warringah Radio Society Society website at www.mwrs.org.au and click on the WebSDR link in the top menu. Give it a try and let the club know how it works for you. All feedback will be most welcome. The club website again, www.mikewhiskeyromeosierra.org.alphauniform, or just Google the club call sign Victor Kilo 2 Mike Bravo. Happy listening. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Richard Renan, VK2SKY.
In India, the West Bengal Radio Club is helping authorities clear up a disturbing mystery as we hear from Newsline's Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
The strange messages come over the airwaves typically around midnight. They're sent from transmitters that appear to be moving and in transmissions that appear to be in a language featuring numeric codes as well as Bengali and Urdu words and hams with Bangladeshi-type pronunciations. These transmissions are of great concern to amateurs in South Bengal who have been hearing the traffic along the Bengal-Bangladesh border and have now been asked to help track the source. Hams with the West Bengal Radio Club have been asked by the Ministry of Communication and Information Technology to monitor this traffic around the clock with an eye to tracking any potential terror activity, and for which purpose the club secretary, Ambarish Nag Biswas, said that the club has now assigned 23 operators. He added that hams have apparently been noticing these transmissions on VHF as early as June, but said this is the first time amateurs have encountered this kind of radio traffic along the border. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
In the world of DX, Istvan, HA5AO, has reactivated his 7P8AO call sign and is operating from Lesotho until October 29th. Send QSL cards via club log OQRS. Be listening for call signs 9N7FD, 9N7WE, 9N7ZT, and 9N7XW as a group of Polish operators gets on the air from Nepal through October 29th. Send QSL cards to their home calls. Chris, GM3WOJ, and Keith, GM4YXI, are operating from Micronesia as V6Z until November 1st. The IOTA reference is OC-011. Send QSLs via club log OQRS. We close this week with another round of National Parks activations, this time in Australia. Here's Newsline's Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
They don't call it portable operations for nothing. As hams in Australia prepare for the 6th annual Keith Roger Memorial National Parks Award Activity Weekend, this being held in Victoria's National Parks, amateurs have chosen their times and locations for operating, and many of them plan to be on the move at more than one spot, from Lower Goulburn to Warby Ovens to Port Campbell and points in between. This is all, of course, nothing new in Victoria or in the United States, which will soon be wrapping up its centennial celebration of its own national parks after a year of similar portable operations. In Victoria's case, though, hams have Keith Roger, VK3YQ, to thank for being the award's inspiration. Keith became a silent key in 1981 after an amateur career that kept him forever on the move with his radio equipment. Keith was a respected World War II veteran who served with the Royal Australian Air Force and became an active amateur in his later years. Now it's just a matter of waiting until Friday the 11th of November for the activity to begin. It doesn't conclude until Monday the 14th of November. Across those 4 days, hams will be on the move in the spirit of Keith Roger. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
With thanks to Allen Labs, Amateur Radio Victoria, the ARRL, the Associated Press, Bloomington High School South Club, CQ Magazine, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, the Hindustan Times, Irish Radio Transmitter Society, the Manly Warringah Radio Society, Native News Online, Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, QRZ, SC Hart, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, Wireless Institute of Australia, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website located at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Marie, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH in Topeka, Kansas, saying 7-3. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2016. All rights reserved.